Welcome to the Soma Church Podcast. As Soma, we believe life is better together, and we exist to help others find their identity in Jesus and become mature followers of Him. To be better connected with Soma, you can visit somapeople.com or follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Soma People. Now here's this week's teaching from Pastor Michael Strickland.
Hey, good morning. Hey, listen, if you're glad to be the church to gather together, if you love your mama, but you love Jesus a little bit more, come on, make some noise in this place. Hey. So good to be together. Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms in the room. We're so grateful for you. We love you. Don't know where we would be without you. We wouldn't exist without you, right? We would struggle. We wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. So thank you so much for having us. And today's a great day to be able to celebrate all of the moms in our life. And before we get into the message side of things, I want to share with you guys a couple things that we've been able to do as a church in celebration of this weekend. Friday, we had an opportunity to go to Pregnancy Care Center. We mentioned this last week. It's in Hickory. They do a great job resourcing moms and a great job on the education side of things, a great job just walking with families. They walk with a lot of moms through the process of having babies, many for the first time, but a lot of families and a lot of moms who maybe they go without that. Maybe they lack that resource, or they lack the context or the people to kind of walk alongside of them. So we did a baby shower for some moms there. And as a church, basically, if you're a part of Soma, if you give, you got ownership stake in this, close to $1,500 worth of stuff. We did car seats, and we did cribs, and we did baby clothes, and we did all kinds of stuff, and that was you guys. And we had close to 12 to 14 moms kind of show up and just be able to, it was me hanging out with a bunch of women. It was so awkward. It was great. So, but I just want to say thank you for your generosity. We say all the time, generosity is our joy, right? So it's not a thing that we're obligated to, but being able to serve people and be able to be generous is a privilege. We've been given much. We're a five-talent church. We've been given a lot. And so the opportunity to be able to bless people, it really is a blessing. And so thank you so much. You guys celebrate the moms who were a part of that and your generosity. You guys give it up for them, man. Thanks so much. And in the spirit of just fun, all right, and in the spirit of just more grace and more blessing, we want to be able to bless a mom here today. And there's really no great way to qualify as to who gets what or whatever, but we want to be, there's a pastor out in Georgia, Andy Stanley. He says, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. So we're going to do that today. We're going to bless somebody. We're doing a thing called Treat Yourself, okay? Anybody seen Parks and Rec? Y'all seen Parks and Rec? Y'all know Tom and Donna, right? So every once in a while, they have a treat yourself day. But basically, they're the worst employees ever. But they'll skip work, and they'll just go and just treat yourself. Come on, throw that up. Hey, so here we go. So we're gonna do a little treat yourself package for a mom in the room. Basically, if you look at the program that you got when you came in, everybody getting the programs now. We're going to take notes now. So open that up, and there's a little tab on it. There's like a little sticky note, and it just says treat yourself. And if that's you, it's for, if you are a mom, that's for you. If you're not, it's for your mom or for your spouse who is a mom, whoever you want to give it to. But if that's you, would you just let us know, raise your hand and say, anybody get that? Hey, oh, yes, awesome. And don't make your mom come up here and get it. You serve her, whoever that is. Come on up here, and we're going to give your mom. I got my lovely bride, my helper right here, my lovely assistant. She's going to help me out with this. And we've got there's like chocolate truffles in the form of a bouquet, and there's like a mani-pedi and a massage package, and treat yourself. Yes. Who's that? Is that Lisa? That's Lisa, yeah. And I know you're probably thinking that's embarrassing, that doesn't feel fair. Favor ain't fair, y'all. Come on, that's good theology, okay? So you just blessed. Just be blessed. The rest of you, y'all got to fill the gap today. So, husbands, whoever, y'all got to just step up your game. So treat yourself, moms. Today's your day. So, we're going to be in, this is the last week in this series called Eternal Exchange. We've been talking about prayer. And Jesus has given this master class on prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to land the plane today on the last part of that prayer, last chunk of that prayer. And it's a prayer that we regurgitate often. It's a prayer that we've memorized and we'll say. A lot of times if you play sports, you'll say it. A lot of times in more kind of public settings, you'll see people kind of get together and say the Lord's Prayer. But everybody is pretty well aware of the Lord's Prayer. But it's something that we generally just say it without thinking about the depth and what's in it and what God's really trying to teach us. And so this week we're going to land the plane on that. We're going to Matthew 6. Verses 5 through 15, and I'm just going to read this one last time this week. We're going to hit it. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who's in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. As a matter of fact, let's do this. Let's say it together, okay? Say this with me. Let's read it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then verse 14, it goes on, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And so this whole series has been unpacking this prayer. And my encouragement to you, if you're with us for the first time or if you missed a week or whatever, there's a little bit of archive. You can go back and you can listen. We're super hood in this season, right? We don't have a YouTube channel. We're not on TV, all that kind of junk yet, right? So we're doing a thing called, which is a podcast, and it's a way for you to go back and listen to the content. If you missed a week and you want to track along with us, any of the rest of the prayer, you can go back and hit that up, okay? This week, we're going to lean in on verse 13. And it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Everything through that lens today, okay? I'm going to pray for us real quick. Father, thank you so much for today, God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness in our life. Much of that manifested through the person of our mom. And we're so grateful for the motherly figures in our life and the moms in our life, God. We're also aware of, on a day like today, that there are people in the room and there are people who are listening to this right now who have lost their mom. There are people who this day is really hard because they are struggling with the loss of a mother, the loss of a mother figure. And there's also some people in this room and some people who are listening who maybe they've had a desire to have biological children, but they haven't been able to do so. And we're very aware, God, that there are women out there who have a desire to become mothers and who are going through the adoption process, whatever that may look like, God. And our prayers is that you would fill the gap, that you would give them a sense of peace and comfort. Know that you want you want to draw them into the most abundant life, God, and that you have a purpose in that season, and you have a way of taking them to a place, bringing them closure, bringing them a great sense of love and grace in that season. So our prayer today is for the moms, that they would feel loved. God, also, Lord, if you could just miraculously turn the air conditioning on in this room. It is so hot in here. Jesus, if you could just do that, that would be amazing. Also, help me to be short-winded today because it's hot and people are going to be hot and bothered if I'm real long. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, amen. Yes, everybody has a lot of feedback on that one. So temptation is where we're going today. Temptation, this word temptation in the passage, so originally in the Greek, it's one of two ways. It's read as a test or read as a trap. Like it can be either one of those. There's also another one. We're going to talk a little bit about that. That same word is read as trial. But there's different variances of that. So I want to lean in on the temptation side of it. And I want to look at the test. The difference between a test and a trap is how you respond to temptation. So if you're faithful in the thing that's testing you, if you're faithful in the temptation, right? If there is temptation and you do the things that God's calling you to do and you're obedient in that moment, you're playing on another level. And you experience God in a way, the fullness that he has for you, the most abundant life in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. That was a test. If you don't respond that way, and you give into temptation, that's a trap, the enemy wins. And so, but every single person in this room has experienced temptation. It's a universal condition. If you're human, you've experienced. As a matter of fact, when you leave here, you'll experience it. Today, you will experience some form of temptation. Temptation is the number one way that the enemy, the devil, gets us off track from God's perfect purpose and plan for our life, the most abundant life that he's calling us into. The enemy tempts us. It says, deliver us from evil. Some of your translations may say, deliver us from the evil one. Same thing, right? And I want you to think about this. Have you ever seen the marshmallow test? Anybody ever seen the marshmallow test with the kids? Right? This is how universal the issue of temptation is. If you haven't seen it, here it is. So kids, younger kids, 5 years old, 8 years old, somewhere in that range, they bring them into a room. They sit them down at a table. There's a little paper plate in front of them. Lady says, hey, here's the thing. We'll put a marshmallow right here. You can eat the marshmallow, or you can wait. You can be patient, and then when I come back, you can have two marshmallows. And so she leaves the room, and they set up a camera, and they're watching these kids, and the kids are just like, they're like licking it. One little girl's like nibbling a little piece off just to see if anybody would notice. One kid's just like staring at it the whole time. And some kids just give straight. This is one little girl in the original test that they did, and she was like, if you want to eat it, you can eat it. And she was just like, boom. And she just like shoved it in her mouth. She's like, no, you can wait and get a second one. She's like, I don't care. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and eat it. I know I lack the ability to wait, right? But there's this one little kid. He waited. It was hard, man. He's like wiggling around in his chair. He's like looking at it. He's like sweating. Lady comes back, and she's like, you did a great job. Here's a second marshmallow. And I feel like that's us in every area of life. But if you're like me, you're predisposed to struggle. You're predisposed to be tempted in certain ways. So it may not be the same. The way that Satan tries to tempt you is not going to be the same way that he tries to tempt someone else. What works for you is not going to work for someone else. You can't have a test. You can't experience temptation. You can't have a test without a testimony, right? So if you've spent any time in church, you've heard that phrase testimony, and basically it's an opportunity for people to tell their story, but it's to tell their story, and often that story, there's this narrative, there's this underlying piece about how they overcame something. There was a trial that they overcame. There was a temptation that they kept hitting their head against that they overcame. I heard the other day, we're going to bring a guy in the fall. This guy, Chris, he was a drug addict, and he was down to 100 pounds. He was 6 foot, 100 pounds, and was addicted to cocaine, and came to faith in Christ on Christmas Eve one year. And God just miraculously saved him from this addiction. God miraculously saved him from this disease. And it's been 6 years, and he's completely healthy, and everything's going great in his life. As a matter of fact, his primary use is just to be able to tell his testimony, to be able to tell what God's brought him out of. And so tests and temptations and trials, the fact that you experience them, that's not what's bad. The fact that you give in to them is what's bad, right? So a trial would be more of an external thing that happens to you, suffering that happens to you. Maybe someone got sick. Maybe you got bad news. Maybe something happened at work. Something happened to you. Temptation is something that happens from within. It's this natural, broken state that you and I live in. And it's happened ever since the fall, ever since the very beginning. God creates everything, and it's perfect, and it's good. And Adam and Eve, right? The very first fall, the very first temptation, the tree of knowledge. Hey, you can have anything you want, just don't touch that tree. What do? They touch the tree, right? They eat of the fruit. And then the first thing they do, and this is what we often do whenever we're tempted and we give into temptation, the first thing that they do is what? God comes at him and says, what are you doing? I told you not to touch. You could have anything you wanted, like anything, except that. And Adam says, she made me do it, right? And his words were, the woman you gave me, like the woman you brought me made me do it, right? And we still do that. And then God goes to Eve and he says, so what happened? And Eve looks and she says, he made me do it. Like she's pointing to the devil made me do it. How many of you said that before? The devil made me do it. And so, but just keep passing blame. Instead of owning the fact that we're broken, that we're in need of a Savior, that we're in need of a God who loves us and who can fill whatever gap that we may need filled. Temptation is always this thing. It's us putting our own desires above the desires of God. That's really what it is. It's really idolatry. If you give in to temptation, you're saying, I value that. I value whatever this thing that I'm giving into more than I value God, more than I value, and I'm less mindful of God's love and God's mercy in my life, God's grace for me when I'm giving in to temptation. Here's the reason why prayer is so important. Because you have an opportunity every single day to frame your day in such a way. You start the day that says, God, I know I struggle in these ways. I know I'm tempted in these ways. And I want you to help me. I want you to go before me, and I want you to feel, I want to be able to see you and experience you in such a way that I no longer want those things. I want you, and I want what you want for me. But also, I know there's some ways that I'm tempted that are blind spots, areas that I struggle in my life that I'm not even aware of. And I want you to bring those to my knowledge. I want to be able to see those things. And so this is James 1, 13 through 15. It says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. It's the thing within you. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And get this, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So temptation, that's going to happen. Tests are going to happen. That moment, it happens daily. Whether or not you give into it, if you do, it brings about sin. And if it brings about sin, it brings about death. And it always starts small. The temptations always start small, and they always grow. I know people who are homeless, who live in the woods, who have given their lives over to addiction. It did not start that way. It didn't start saying, you know what, I'm going to go live in the woods and be homeless and give my life over to addiction. That's not the way it started. It started small. And so sin and temptation, it can creep in and it can take over. But it's not of God. So a lot of times you'll hear people say, man, God, I don't know why you're tempting me. I don't know why you're doing this thing to me. And James 1, 13 through 15 reminds us, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Because you serve a God who loves you, who's for you, and who's perfect and who's good. Not that he won't allow you to go through some things. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But he doesn't bring about, God doesn't want you to sin. God doesn't want you to have that life where you give in to temptation. And he's trying to offer you a remedy to get out of that. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. How comforting is that? There's not a single thing that you and I experience in terms of temptation that God will not offer a way out. Nothing. And so I want to look at, there's 4 points I want to hit today. And again, real quick, because y'all are looking hot. Think cold thoughts, right? We're in Antarctica right now. Okay, so I'm going to hit these 4 points. If you're taking notes, write these down. How to deal with the tests of life. How to deal with temptation. That's where we're going, based on that 1 Corinthians 10, 13 passage. So the first thing we got to do is we got to expect them. We have to expect them. So we've already mentioned the fact that it's a universal condition. If you're human, you're going to experience temptation. Jesus experienced temptation. And if Jesus experienced temptation, you're going to experience temptation. But so often we go through our day without the expectation. We know the areas that we struggle in, but we don't come up with a game plan when it comes to a life of prayer that says, okay, I'm going to expect to really struggle with XYZ today. Like, I know I'm going to be in this situation. I know I'm going to come against this. I know I'm going to be here. And God, I want you to guard my heart in that moment. I've got a plan, right? And a failure to plan is a plan for failure. That's exactly what that looks like. You're always planning regardless. 1 Peter 4, it says, do not be surprised when the fiery trial comes on you. As if to say, don't be caught off guard. And I think the majority of our issues when it comes to temptation is in this first point, the fact that we don't prepare. We don't set our day up in such a way. We don't have an expectation that I'm going to be tempted and I'm going to be tempted daily. So we don't plan for the moment. It's huge. We live so much of our lives trying to do the right thing the wrong way. It's not that your motives are off. It's not that you really want to do that thing that you keep struggling with and you keep hitting your head against. It's that you can't help yourself. And a lot of times it's because you didn't prepare. So it snuck up on you. Trying to follow Jesus through situations and environments, often we do that in places that he would never be or he would never want us to be. And it blows my mind that we're surprised by our own sin in those moments. Let me give you an example, okay? It looks like this. So somebody goes to a movie, and then they're in the aftermath of the movie, depending on what the movie is, or they watch it at home or whatever, and they're like, man, like I didn't think that lust would take me over in that movie. Man, God, I'm so sorry, man. I did not believe. I'm having a hard time, like, with that one part of the movie. I can't believe that I went to the movies and watched softcore porn, and now I'm really struggling with lust in this moment. I wish there was some way. I wish there was, like, a rating or something that would help me to, you know, gauge whether or not this movie would be appropriate for me to watch. And yet, that's how they're rated. Like, they're very, a lot of times, you know, going into it, the thing that you, if you struggle with lust, stop watching things that are going to make you lust. Like scripture tells us, like, if you have a predisposition to sin in a certain way, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It doesn't mean literally cut your hand off. It means stop putting yourself in situations to cause you to stumble over that thing. You know, like most people, and I would say the majority of people, but I would say specifically men, lust is an issue. I'm just going to dig in on one thing. This is universal. You can apply it to anything, though. We have to prepare. So one of the things that we do, Brooke and I do, is there's this thing called, this is a shameless plug for this thing called Plugged In, and it's a Focus on the Family. I think they may have an app. I don't know, but they got a website. Basically, you can research any content you want. If it's for you or your kids, you research it. You look it up. A lot of times they do movies, they do books, that kind of thing. But you look it up, and you view the actual, it gives you a synopsis. It gives you all the stuff that you're going to experience as you watch that film. And then you have to ask your question. You have to go, is this going to be good for me? Is this gonna tempt me? Is this gonna put me in a position where I'm gonna be forced to stumble in this area? And I know here's the rub for us as Christ followers. We want to do the right thing, but we want to be culturally relevant. And we want to be able to have conversations with people who've gone to see the movie. We don't want to be like the prudes, right? I don't have to, why, you know. But at the same time, what matters more? Your righteousness? And your experience in the abundant life that God has for you, or being able to have a side conversation about a movie that, like, at the end of the day, it does not matter. And so take this one scenario and apply it to every area of your life. There is a way that you and I, through prayer, can prepare our hearts and say, God, help me. I need to have an expectation that I'm going to struggle in whatever area. Guys, stop putting yourself in vulnerable positions at work. Stop putting yourself in vulnerable positions in general. Because unless, maybe you're not like me, right? Maybe you're more godly, maybe you're more Christ-like than me. But to do that is unnecessary temptation, is an unnecessary test of your faith. Tests are going to come anyway. It's going to happen. And often they come in, generally we think in terms, and I hate to even use the illustration, but we think in terms of things like lust, or we think in terms of things like addictions, like alcoholism and all kinds of things like that. But man, let me tell you something. Those are, the devil would love for you to be distracted with things like that and then miss out on things like pride and miss out on things like ego and miss out on things like hate in your heart and miss out on things like that right there that plagues our day continually. So whatever area you struggle in, pray that there's to be this expectation. God, I need you to help me in this area of my life. This is 2 Timothy 2. It says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So it doesn't matter what your distraction is or what your test is. And here's the cool thing. How many of you are fishermen? You like, if you go to the beach, you'll go fishing, or you go to like the lake or something, you go fishing like that, right? So what happens if you're fishing and you're like, hey, you know, I feel like you get some inside info. Somebody shares some stuff with you fishing in this area, and you've got your kind of go-to, right? You've got your lures, you've got your baits, that kind of thing. Throw it out in the water. Nobody's biting. What do you do? What do you do? Change the bait. Just change the bait. And I'm telling you, everything is spiritual. Like, if you don't struggle in a certain area, he'll change the bait. I promise you. It doesn't matter what you trip on, as long as you trip. He does not care what keeps you from the abundant life that God has for you, as long as he keeps you from the abundant life that God has for you. And so Satan has this way of just changing the bait. And it doesn't matter what it looks like, as long as you step into it. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. So don't be shocked when you face trials, temptations, sufferings, tests. Look at verse, this is my second point. The real enemy is evil, not pain. So a lot of us, when we go through trials, again, it's that same word for temptation is the same word for trial, but there's two different meanings. So when we face trials, a lot of us think that suffering and pain and hurt and those types of things will keep us from the life that God has called us to. But that's not true. The thing that keeps us from the life that God's called us to is giving in to temptation, giving in to evil, not experiencing suffering, not experiencing trials. As a matter of fact, experiencing suffering or experiencing trials will lead you into the more abundant life that God has for us. I don't know anyone who's spiritually mature who has never gone through something, had to go through a thing. God will call you into a place and you will experience some things in a broken world. Again, we live in a broken, sinful world. You're going to experience things this side of heaven that hurt, that are painful. And it's our response to those things that matter. Trials produce amazing things in us. This is Romans 5, 3 through 5. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. This is James 1, 2 through 4. He says, count it all joy. What are we counting joy? When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So here's the temptation. And again, the enemy will use suffering in your life, and he will use trials in your life to get you distracted off of the love and the grace and the goodness of God. So sometimes our posture is, why do we have to endure this thing? I don't know why we have to go through this thing. And the more that he can get you thinking about God doing that thing to you, the more you took the bait. And you're there and you're trapped. But it says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Because it's in those moments, it's in the moments where you have to go through things that produce the greatest amount of character in the back end, that produce the greatest amount of holiness in the back end, that calls you into the life that God has for you. It's like, it's the same way that diamonds are made, right? So you start off with a little piece of coal. I don't know if you know this or not. But diamonds are coal, basically. So like over a long period of time and an intense amount of pressure, coal becomes a diamond. And what God is asking us to do, he's saying, listen, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And every single day you're going to be faced with trials, and every single day you're going to be faced with temptation, and every single day you're going to be faced with tests. But I promise you, if you allow for God, the life of prayer, going into every single day and saying, God, shape my day in such a way that I'm more mindful of you and your desire for me and my life than for the things of this world. You're never going to get it perfect. As a matter of fact, you're never going to go through a day where you get it perfect. You're never going to get it perfect. But here's the encouraging part, and this is the next part. This is the next point. See the test through the love of the Father. So remember, we're going to shape our entire prayer as if we're having a conversation with the Heavenly Father, because we are. So regardless of what we're going through, here's what we need to be mindful of. We are loved. We have been adopted. And the scriptures tell us that in that moment when we give our lives over to Christ and we believe in him, that we become children of God. And God loves you and he's for you. And he wants more for you than you want for yourself. And many of us, when it comes to temptation, we struggle so hard with thinking of it in terms of, I'm not good enough. You're never going to be good enough, I promise you. If you think of your Christian life, again, it's not a Christian life. If you think of your spiritual walk in terms of what you've got to do in order to earn the good graces of God, there's nothing that you could do to get there. There's nothing that you could do to earn the moment where Jesus goes to the cross and gives his life over for you and for me. There's nothing that gets you there. But if you see God as a loving father who loves you, who's merciful, who's full of grace, and you've been adopted, again, adoption process, anybody who's ever gone through it, there's nothing the kid can do. It's all the grace and the mercy and the love of the parents who want to adopt the child. And that's the situation that we're in. And forgiveness of your sins, whenever we place our faith and our trust in Jesus and we repent, forgiveness of our sins are past, present, and future, the scripture tells us. He has forgiven all your sins. It's like, well, why do I need to struggle against temptation? You struggle. The reason why temptation matters and the reason why you're going to want to do the things that God's called you to do is a couple of things. You love God and you want to please your heavenly Father. And in doing so, he's your Father. He knows better for you. You're going to live a life far more great than if you didn't listen to your heavenly Father. This is what we talked about last week. So it's so important, right? We've got to prepare ourselves. We've got to be preemptive when it comes to the life of prayer. Expect the fact that things are going to happen. And then when we expect the fact that things are going to happen, we have to understand that the difference between trials and the difference between temptations and the fact that just because we're going through trials, that is not a God-induced thing. God is not making you hurt. He's not bringing your life pain. And yet he'll allow you to go through some things. He'll allow you to go through some things so that your dependence on him is greater. Paul said, and we mentioned this before, take away the thorn in my side. I've asked 3 times for you to take away the thorn in my side. And God said, I'm not taking away the thorn, Paul. You need the thorn because without the thorn, you're not going to be dependent on me. And you're going to miss the life that I've called you to. So just because we experience trials, it's okay because we have a heavenly Father who loves us and is for us. And he has a greater vantage point than we have. And this is the last thing I want to make. This is point 4. Watch Jesus deal with temptation. So the reason why quiet time is so important, the reason why a life of spending time in Scripture is so important, because you see things in the life of Christ that we're to mimic. So not only is Jesus here for our salvation, the cross of Christ, his death, his forgiveness, his atonement for my sins and your sins and all of humanity, resurrection, all that's beautiful, and that's the main thing. But also, he's here to show us the way. Jesus lives his life in such a way, and it is recorded in such a way that you and I are supposed to take note and go, okay, all right, Jesus did this thing. I'm supposed to follow in kind. There's this passage in Daniel 3, right? There's these three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember this from Sunday school back in the day, if you grew up in church, right? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, he gives this decree and he says, hey, listen, everyone in the kingdom, you're going to bow down. We create a gold idol. You're going to worship. Music's going to start playing. I want everybody to worship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't do that. So there's this temptation to fall in line with the crowd. There's this test of faith that says, hey, listen, if you don't do this, it's actually a royal decree. If you don't do this, death is going to happen. If you don't worship the idol, and they don't do it. Chaldeans come to Nebuchadnezzar. They say, hey, these brothers over here, they're not praying to the idol, man. They're not doing it. They're not doing what you ask them to do. Nebuchadnezzar brings them in front of me. He said, what's the deal? And they said, listen, we're not going to bow down to your idol. Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't do it, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Fire by trial. You're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. You're going to experience death if you don't do it. And here's their response, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said this, they said, we serve a God who can save us from that. We serve a God It was way bigger than you, way bigger than that situation, way bigger than that temptation to fall in line and do just what everybody else is doing. We serve a God who can save us. But listen to this. This is what they say. But if not, and I'm telling you, our prayer life needs to be shaped. If you miss nothing else today, grab this part right here. But if not, I serve a God who can save me. I'm thinking about a pastor, a guy who I follow. His name's Matt Chandler. He got brain cancer a few years ago. Really progressed, rare form of brain cancer. Everybody's like, that brother's gone. And Matt said this. He went through all the stuff medically, but he also prayed. And he had so many people praying for him. And Matt said, listen, I know I serve a God who can save me. But if not, if he doesn't save me, I know God is for me. And I know God's forgiven me. And I know God has a plan for my family. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be full of anxiety. How many times in our life are we so full of anxiety, or are we so full of worry because we don't see him as a heavenly Father who loves us and wants more for us than we want for ourselves? So when we face temptation, when we face trials, we're supposed to say, okay, I know God can save me from this thing. But if not, and that's what they say. And here's the amazing part. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get thrown into the furnace, right? Hotter than it's ever been. Throw them in there. And when they throw them in there, they don't see three bodies, they see four bodies. And the passage says it was a godlike figure in the fire with them. And I'm telling you, when we don't give in to temptation, when we don't give in to temptation, and we say, okay, you could save us, but if not, and we step into whatever that trial is, whatever that struggle is, and being faithful to God and obedient to what he's called us to be, instead of giving in, when we step into it, man, God's with you, Jesus with you in a way that he's never been before. And don't miss that moment where you get to experience God in a way that you've never experienced him before simply by trying to do what pleases everybody else. Here's what Jesus says. Right? And this is, we've already mentioned this, but this is Garden of Gethsemane. Right before his death, right before his burial, right before his resurrection, he's praying for his life. And he says, I don't want to do this. If there's a way for me to not go through this thing that I'm getting ready to go through, I would love to not go through this thing. But if not, your will be done. And the Father, being a loving Father who loved his Son, but also loves you and me and every single person in this community, in this world, said, I've got a vantage point that you don't have, Son. I can see the long-term gain, and I also know that you can go through this. Because I see resurrection. You don't necessarily know that in your human form, but I see resurrection. And he goes through with it. And 3 days later, he's resurrected, and you and I have an opportunity to experience salvation and freedom and joy in Christ because of the faithfulness in Jesus in the moment of temptation. Hey, you can get down off that cross, man. You don't have to do it. So here's my prayer for us, and I'm going to land right here with this series. My prayer is that something stuck and that your prayer life changes even a little bit, that you begin to pray more often. Man, if you don't even know what you're doing, just start praying. Just start talking. Just say something. Say something. He's a heavenly Father who loves you and desires to have a conversation with his kids. But also, your kingdom come, your will be done. You've got a vantage point that we don't have. You can see things, Dad, that we can't see. And so I pray that you would help me to see the things that you want me to see so I can be obedient to what you've called me to be. Give me my daily bread. You're the source of my provision. Everything that I've got this side of heaven is a gift, it's grace, and you've given it to me, including my family, including my resources, including everything. Give me what I need. Forgive me as I forgive others. Help me to forgive people the way that you've called me to forgive people. And in doing so, I experience forgiveness because of that. And also lead me away from temptation. Help me to prepare my heart and my mind, be mindful of the ways that I struggle so that I don't have to go through those things and I can experience the fullness that you have for me. That's my prayer, is that we would live that and that would shape our faith. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your truth. And today we celebrate, and every single day as we gather as your church, we celebrate that truth, and we gather together to be reminded that you want more for us than we want for ourselves. God, I pray for every single person here, because all of us experience, myself included, none of us get a pass on temptation. None of us get a pass on that moment where we get to decide between being faithful to who you've called us to be and sin. And sin ultimately leads us to death. And not just an eternal death, God, but a death in this life. So many of us struggle with the same temptations over and over and over again. And it plagues our life, and it plagues our marriage, and it plagues our relationship with our kids, and it plagues our ability to just do more and do all that you've called us to be, to create the moments, the type of life that you've called us to create. But only you are capable of ridding us of those things that we continue to struggle with, of ridding us of the sin that we continually hit our head against. You're the only one. And so my prayer, God, is that today that you would shift our perspective. If you're here and you struggle with a specific sin, I want you to get that sin in your head. I want you to get that temptation in your head. I want you to get that struggle in your head. I want you to think about that thing that man, Satan keeps throwing it out there, and you keep taking the bait over and over and over again, and it's a frustration. Get that in your head. Okay, now here's what I want you to pray. I want you to say, God, help me. Help me in this temptation. Help me. Give me the resolve. Give me the courage. Give me the conviction to face this temptation and to shut this down, so that the enemy does not have a foothold in my life. But I want more. And I want what you're calling me to. For the person who's here and you've never seen or experienced Jesus in the way that you're experiencing him today, you could spend a lifetime in church. This could be your first time in church. But when we place our faith and our trust in Christ, when we see him, that's a Holy Spirit moment. There's nothing anybody else can do. Except when God just reveals himself and you fall in love with the person of Jesus, you want to give your life over to him. If that's you today, you're seeing Jesus for who he is, I want you to pray this prayer with me. There's nothing magical about the prayer. It doesn't save you. Jesus does. But I want you to pray this. And say, Jesus, I love you, and I'm sorry for the life that I've lived. I'm sorry that I continually struggle, that I continually fall into temptation, that I continually don't pass the test, and I want to give my life over to you, and I want you to lead me. I want to follow you. I want to be obedient to the life that you've called me to be. And I want you to be the leader of my life, God. I want to experience joy and freedom, forgiveness, salvation in you, so that I can be the same to others, so that I can be the embodiment of you to others. Lord, we love you. We celebrate you today and every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.